The Lord is good.
All the time.
Let's take our declaration of understanding, and as part of our teaching the word, we will pray, both of them running side by side. So before we start, let's take our declaration of understanding. All right? Welcome to today's school of prayer again. We have been praying for the last 35 minutes, but let's continue with this instruction from the word of God. Want to let, if you know it by heart, say amen.
Amen.
All right. If you don't, please say, help me. All right. Now, want to let's go. Now I declare that the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to His word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area, and it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 The Lord is good. Please sit down. Let's look at the Bible together. Amen. All right. We have been provoking faith for total health and vitality even when we are old. All right? Total health is the will of God. I want us to preach together today. It's a school of prayer. Amen? Say,
my total health
is the will of God.
From the top of my head
to the soles of my feet. Say,
total health
is the will of God. I felt we should do this season because one thing that marks the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, go and check your scriptures. Whether you are reading Matthew, the three, what you call synoptic gospels, or you are reading John, beginning to the end, healing, 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 healing. And when Peter was going to talk about it in the house of Cornelius, the reputation Jesus Christ had was with healing. Are you aware of that? You're not sure? Open it now. Open. Let's read the Bible. Acts chapter 10. The Lord Jesus had the reputation for divine health, for the power of God to heal. Yes, I like that. For manifesting God's power to heal the sick. Are you there? Acts chapter what? 10. The house of Cornelius. Look at what Cornelius said, what Peter said about our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, I will read. Then you read from the verse 38. Opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. The word which is sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. Verse 37. You yourselves know the thing which took place throughout all Judea, starting from Galilee, after the baptism which John proclaimed. 38. You know of Jesus Christ. I'm not hearing everybody's voice. 38.
You know of Jesus Christ.
How God anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. He said, you know. You know. Can you see that? The Lord Jesus Christ had that. They knew. Do you understand? He came to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius has gathered everybody. And he was telling them, the name Jesus is not new to you. You know of Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed him, and how he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. All. For God was with him. You read your Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There are only about two persons that the Lord bothered to identify that they almost did not get healed under the Lord Jesus Christ. The other ones, there were many people who did not. I'm not saying there were none. Before, if you know the story when he went to his hometown, there the Bible says what? He could not do any mighty work. But he gave us a reason. What's the reason? It was their unbelief. So we're already getting some things there. What is the unbelief that will not allow me received the power of God. Every other person, including the one that he even initially showed reluctance, the record was selected for us to show that eventually every single one that looked to him got healed. Every single person. Every single person. So I thought about it. God must really desire that his people be totally well. Sickness is an abnormality. You know, when we began, I said, I'm provoking faith through redirecting our eyes, our thoughts. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm provoking faith. So I just keep on hearing this truth. And I recommend that, of course, I was going to say, everything is on podcast and is on our website. So make sure you go there, download it, put it in your device, download it into your podcast app and listen to it again and again until faith is totally built in your heart and anything can happen. You hear what I said? You know, there was something that this reverend, is it Dami that said it the other day? Is that John? Was the one that said it? That people, if your child is not doing well in physics, what do you do? And you want him to study physics, what do you do? You get a lesson teacher. Do you know that? If your child is not good with math and is supposed to study math, you get a lesson teacher. He said, but do you know, in fact, until he said it that day, I'd never thought about it. That how many parents bother to get lesson teachers for Bible? For their child? It's okay if they don't know scriptures, but in physics, they must know. That this time around, I'm talking about, if the children are not studying CRSO, I'm not talking about CRSO, do WAEC and jump. I mean, you people don't know the Bible. Oh yeah. There's one young pastor in our church. I am going to employ him. He will come here twice a week and preach to you people. And you will recite scriptures. He said, you know, people don't do it. I said, yeah. I said, guilty as charged. Even though I never really got that teacher to what. I realized that it has never crossed my mind. But that tells me something. We generally as a people, we are not devoted to the word of God enough. We are not too. Brethren, it's not only you. This man preaching. Point fingers like this. Even if I manage to use two. Three is still coming this way. So when I say, it's all of us. Tell your neighbor, him too. That we are not, brethren, we are not devoted enough. That devotion is one thing we need. You know what I'm saying? Telling this story. Can I tell this story? There was one woman that got his messages. I've forgotten the name of it. It's a faith series. They published it later as Faith Classics. And this woman had the club foot. Was born like that. He said one day he went to preach. So she asked to speak with him. And she showed him her shoes. And she's like 30-something. All right? That age, not less than 30, maybe 40-something if I'm mistaken. Something between just late youth, all right? Late young, what we call young. Immediately after the person will be in middle age, all right? So that late period, somewhere around 40. And the lady said to him, look at his shoes. This is the first pair of shoes I'm having in my life. So in his mind, he felt like, well, maybe poverty, are you getting my point? Shoes can be hard to buy, whether it's Nigeria or America. So he was wondering, why come he never worn shoes, you know? Of course, she was still speaking while he was thinking that. Then she now told the story that she was born with, I don't know whether boots are or she was born with club feet. She has never worn proper shoes like everybody. Then she got hold of his messages, which is why she was telling him the testimony. And listened to them for 6 months non-stop. Not 2 days. At the end of 6 months, the feet corrected themselves. The man, Derek Prince, I have great respect for him. But you know, I particularly like him because he was a British man. You know, he says things calmly. If it's a British man, that will tell you. So he was just like, so we prayed. And the Lord sent the $500 that we're expecting, and the problem was solved. Amen. And they would just continue preaching like nothing happened. Their prayer was British. That kind of culture. No, in fact, it's only once I ever saw him in his life punch the air while preaching. Only once. I've watched many of his messages, you know, listened to many videos, listened to many messages. Only once did I see him get excited enough to punch the air. And I remember the statement he made. He said, "Thank God for the African bishops." He was so excited when the former primate or prelate of the Anglican Church, when they had their synod in UK many years ago, and they refused the LGBT agenda. It was the only time I saw him speak and say, "Thank God for the African bishops." You understand? Now, let me quickly get to the reason why I say this. Now, such a man wanted to give a testimony of what he has seen God do. And he took time out, first of all, to take an oath. That is, I'm saying this on my honor as so and so, and I will swear before and say this in the court of law. I have seen God fill teeth with strange materials. That's where I'm going. Talking about the manifestation of God's power. And he got to that point, say that he knew it was so strange. Such a that's why I told the whole story about how he is normally. He took a pause and first, you know, kind of swore that what I'm about to say, I know is hard. But on my own, almost putting up his hand to say, "This thing I'm saying, I saw with my two eyes." In one meeting, the person had problem with teeth before coming. By the time they were done, a dentist examined this material and said, "I've never seen anything like this." It's hard to believe, right? That's why he spoke the way he did. God works miracles. What did I say?
God works miracles.
And I want us to believe him for all kinds of miracles. All sorts of miracles. And you know what? He will give you a testimony.
Amen.
He will give me a testimony.
Amen.
You know, please, oh, wherever you are, send the testimony. I want to hear it. Yes. And I have a very strong belief right now as I'm speaking that testimonies will start rolling in.
Amen.
Yes, healings will start taking place.
Amen.
All kinds of miracles will start happening.
Amen.
Somebody's listening to me. There are things you have even given up that God is not likely to do this. He will do it to show you that he's alive.
Amen.
Do you know when Jesus multiplied fish for Peter? Peter did not need that amount of fish. He was fishing like a normal fisherman. Then Jesus gave him fish. Why did I say so? After that, Peter left the fish. He left it behind. Because he discovered the power of God. That fish is not worth pursuing. So Jesus looked at him and said, "From now on, you become a fisher of men." So sometimes there are things God will do for you. He just wants to make a point. Just to wake your faith up. And then, money is the best example. You are, father, you are just thinking. At the end of the day, God said, "How much does he need?" He said, 10,000 there. Send him 1.5 million. What you say, like, "Dear Lord, sorry, maybe you missed the address." It was thinking we're praying for. He said, God said, "No, I'm solving worry problem. I'm not solving 10,000 naira problem. In fact, after giving the 1.5 million, I say, go and dash somebody. Go and share it out. Go back to needing 10,000. But now, you won't worry about it again." Once in a while, I tell the Lord, "Please don't let me forget things you have done. Because I know it becomes indictment when I worry." Yeah, seriously. I remember many years ago, that's the only time it ever happened. Where Kingdom War was that time, we needed to pay rent, and it was not even up to 300,000 naira. Yes, it's 300,000 of those days. I wonder what that would be today, but that was quite some time ago. It's really long ago. What I'm telling you is about, should be close to 20 years. Yes, thereabout. So 300K that time, it was less than 300. Just rounding it up to that level. Just to make it look big, actually. But I think it's closer to 200 than 300. I can't remember the exact figure now. So I didn't have the money personally. If I did, how will I pay the rent? I mean, how will I put money in my pocket and be believing God to send money to Kingdom World? So there was no money. And rent was due. At least, I thought it was about to be due. I didn't know it was already due. I had the wrong date in my mind. It had already passed, actually. But the guys were nice. His pastor, my lead pastor, that kind of thing. So before the date, I thought we were supposed to pay the money. I was walking on the steps in my house. I still remember where I was as I was taking the turn on the stairs. I was going upstairs. And a thought just came to my mind. I said, "Banky, If the Lord sends money tomorrow, and you realize, and to solve this problem, how will you feel? And instantly I knew what that meant, that you are worrying. You understand? So I said, I will feel bad. He said, then stop worrying so that you won't have to feel bad. And next day, you know what the Lord did? He sent 800,000 naira. The very next day. I was so relieved. You know why I was relieved? That I stopped worrying before the money arrived. So I didn't have to feel bad. One brother just called. He just said, did I notice that they sent some money? He said, I saw it. I had not seen it. I said, okay, I just blessed him and all of that. Okay, later I'll check. Then he realized I had not seen it. He used to send us money, and I knew the kind. In fact, that year, he had made a pledge to me, that is for the ministry, of 50,000 naira, thereabout. He asked how much we paid for something. It was 40-something thousand naira. I said, okay, God helping us, we should be able to take that one up. I prayed for him, the Lord will bless you, help you, and all of that. That's what the brother had promised. So the Holy Spirit now moved upon him. Time to redeem his pledge. Instead of 50,000 naira, what did he send? 800,000. Actually, it was 1,000,000. It's just that he broke it into two. He sent kingdom with 800,000 and sent me 200K. He said, God, you take this one. Why I remember the testimony is that, thank God I was not worried. Worrying over 200 and some, less than 300K. And God just, take this 100K, let me not hear anything. In fact, he said, take this 1 million, because if I was me that got that money, I would have given it to me to use him to pay. Take this 1 million, let me not hear anything from your mouth again. I said, oh, correct, sir. Worry, not my portion. See, let me prophesy to somebody. I don't know who it is, but the good Lord is going to do something.
Amen.
Something so heavy that you will never forget.
Amen.
It may not be something you need critically, but something that will demonstrate that he's alive and is watching.
Amen.
One day, he did something small for one sister. Very interesting, very small thing, but very big. She said, wow, so this is how much God thinks about me. It was last year. Normally, we go to our convention. We started a habit some years ago. When you're coming, you're encouraged to bring gifts for people. So people are just sharing gifts to people all over the place. It doesn't have to be big things. Some people give big things, some small things, some cash, different things. Just give, you know, just pack gifts for five. Some, like someone like my wife, she and another sister, that they actually will go to Nija and go and buy things. When I get it, be sharing. So this sister, that day, something got stuck in her teeth, in her gum, and she was in pain. Didn't have anything to remove it. We were at a convention. She said it was so bad. Listen to this. That she was willing at that time, somebody gave her a toilet broom, toilet. She would break it, wash it, and used to pick her teeth. While she was still in agony, that kind of thing, I have just tapped her. Says, how now? One of the gifts she brought, a pack of toothpick. You know, this toothpick with floss, yes. You know, we're just sharing things. I said, how are you doing? Take this pack. She turned. She looked at it. You know the way it is? You know the way it is? Like, she gave her a big hug. It was not the gift. It was not even the pain. It's like, so God, you think of even. Do you understand? For her, she said, the lesson was that, oh, this is how much he thinks about me. Let me say it again. I don't know where you're listening to this from. Maybe you're here. God will imprint something on your mind.
Amen.
Yes. He will imprint something on your mind.
Amen.
He will heal you and you will be healed.
Amen.
Listen, there will be somebody listening to this. Is 6 weeks. I was going to say a month, but 6 weeks after he smoked the last cigarette, that you remember I used to smoke. No struggle. God, just collect the cigar. Collect the desire. A fellow will forget 6 weeks in a row. It's one day, maybe somewhere, somebody lights a cigarette. Then you don't know, you say, hey, wait. I used to smoke. And you'll be shocked. And then that person's cigarette will cause so much, you know, revulsion. Like, excuse me, can you take this somewhere else? And the person wouldn't believe that this fellow, as of 6 weeks ago, was smoking well. Such power will God manifest so that men will fear before him.
Amen.
and so that his children will never forget him.
Amen.
It's so important to God that you don't forget. And it's very fair. I like one thing John said. He said, that which was from the beginning, which we heard with our ears, which we saw with our eyes, and which our hands handled. I like that expression. Which our hands what? Handled. Father, you will make your children handle.
Amen.
I said, children of God, you will handle something.
Amen.
So that when you are talking about God, you're not talking somebody else's story. It will be something that he did in your life.
Amen.
One brother, the other day, I was in Sokoto. He was giving his testimony. He said, if people say that there's nothing like speaking in tongues, he won't argue. He's a theologian. He works for one of our major international denominations. He's a teacher there in their Bible school, and he's also a preacher. So he said that when there are things that people say about divine healing, even in his theological school, whatever they say, he doesn't listen to anybody. He laughs. He said, because the experience I've had with God, there's nothing he wants to say that will make me change my mind. Because when he was serving, he said there are two stories he told. I can't remember which one is first, but he was telling the story, not somebody told him. We're sitting down, we're eating together. All right? So we're just telling, experiences with God. Say that one. Once he went for a meeting, and he's the kind of person that if you are laying hands on him, hoping he will fall to help make you feel comfortable, that's your problem. He's not going anywhere. If you lay hands on him by force, he's going to stand very well. Some people are, they say, okay, something, don't encourage you to just blab away so that they can see you are receiving the Holy Spirit. The guy looking at you, you are not serious. Who instructed them in the upper room? Anything that's in your mouth, just say it. He said, nobody said it to them. Leave that in. Say, oh, God, if we are filled with the Spirit, we will know. If the Holy Spirit wants us to speak in tongues, So he had that kind of attitude. So they went for meetings and all of that. He believed what they were preaching, but nobody's pushing him down. His feet are planted on this rock. Nobody's pushing him down. He's not going to open his mouth just ta-ta-ta-ta-ta so that you feel happy that he has received the Holy Spirit. He's not doing any of the above. So we're asking about it. I think there was a comment, if I remember well. Two experiences. I'll give you two of them. Saying that he wanted to have a bath. I think it was, he entered the bathroom. Now, I can't tell this accurately, but let me try and recollect as well as possible. He said it was as if somebody opened a shower, and there was no shower there. There's like warm water from above fell upon him and passed through him. And he opened his mouth without any... he wasn't trying to impress anybody. Opened his mouth and he started speaking a language he had never spoken before. So if you come to him and say, whether people are filled with the Spirit or not, he was a serious skeptic that you ain't pushing me down. I'm not going to blab anything for your sake. But when the Holy Spirit came upon him, he was about to enter the bathroom, heaven opened shower over his head. And there was no shower there. He says, I see the water pass through his body. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, like in the book of Acts, and he spoke in other tongues as the Spirit gave him utterance. That's one testimony he shared. The second was about a chronic sore he had had on his foot. All right? Now, like I said, I can't remember which one was which. He went for one of those meetings. Was serving that place in Sokoto then. They went for one of those meetings. They prayed, did everything. He went home. He had that sore. Now, let me not exaggerate. I would have said a few years, but let me just make sure of a few months. It's a very big one. They treated it, done everything. It's on the sole of his foot. He said, because of it, he can't bring out his feet from inside his shoes at any time because he smells. That day he got home. He removed his shoe as usual. Then screamed. A man, he shouted. When he discovered the sole of his foot was perfectly, to use the word healed, is not even like, was perfectly normal, as if nothing had gone wrong with it before. We're sitting down, both ministering at the same program. He said, so anything anybody wants to say, he doesn't have time for argument. He said, because one thing is that I knew I was blind. Now I can see. So all these arguments you are giving me, I don't have that time. I say it again. It's a season of the demonstration of the Spirit and of the power of God in your life.
Amen.
You will have a testimony.
Amen.
Such that we print the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his power, the knowledge of his love in your heart permanently.
Amen.
That even if you wanted to doubt, you would look and say, it's not safe, it's too late. I can't doubt. Sometimes you say, what do you want God to do for you? That's the kind of thing I ask him to do. I can ask for small things, something in a way like a pie and biscuit, you know? Out of just feeling like a child. You know, no matter how old you are, you have to do like a child once in a while. You know, with your Heavenly Father. After, let him never think we are mates. Or let me never think we are mates. So I have to do childish things once in a while, like ask for biscuit. Frank, what should I do for you? Send me 2 rounds of okpa. You can buy it, I know, but I just feel like eating okpa. Once in a while, we'll do that. That's what I'm saying. But when it comes to real prayer, honestly, I don't get time for that kind of prayer. This is the kind of thing I pray about. Say, God, let me know you so well that there will be no shadow of doubt in my heart about what kind of person you are, who you are, what you do, what you love, what you are going to do. Yes, that's the kind of prayer I pray. I pray, say, Lord, help me see from above, not from beneath. God is helping me to stop arguing with people. I realize a lot of arguments is because God has answered me and I don't realize it. Because I'm seeing from above and having arguments with people looking from under. They are looking under the sun. Meanwhile, I'm seeing clearly from the place of, you know, where we are seated beside the Lord on the right hand of the Father, looking at things from above. And you're understanding things and that's forming what you are saying. And you are arguing with people who are under the clouds, who are under the sun. You know, read your scriptures. Let's learn how to. Sometimes we'll go prayer. We'll go for prayer meeting, everything. Morning, afternoon, and night. What are we praying for? We don't even know it's food. What should I eat? What should I drink? Go and see real men who pray in the Bible. Moses, what do you want? Let me see you. This one, you're talking, hearing voices and seeing clouds. Move the cloud aside. That's what they wanted. They asked Solomon. He didn't ask for money. He asked for anything. They asked for more territory. David said, one thing I have desired, to behold. You know, one thing many people have desired is a G-Wagon. They are young men. One thing they have desired is a wedding gown, like that of Princess Diana. And God said, this girl, you are very stupid. What happened to Princess Diana at the end of the day? Was she not trying to run away from the marriage? And you are now asking me to give you her wedding gown. In fact, I'm removing the husband, removing everything. Forget this marriage. Want to give me prayer points, wedding gown. Why don't you pray? You understand? The kind of, you know, that God, I will know you so much that when I speak, people will think you have spoken. Do you understand? That's how real Christians think. That not one jot of what you have written concerning my life will go unfulfilled. That is how real Christians think. And that's what they pray about. I want everybody here, make it a prayer. That dear Lord, this is your power we hear about, we read about. Occasionally testimonies here and there we hear. Let it be a daily occurrence in my life. Not just for me now, but I mean, I go out, I hear of problems. Let me solve this for people with a word, with laying of hands. Did Jesus preach the gospel with argument and persuasion? Paul said, we did not come excellence of wisdom, but with what? Demonstration of the Spirit and of power. You know what that means? He just spoke the word of God, and the power of God followed. That's what it means. I thank God for our brethren. I see them on YouTube a lot, always trying to prove that. That the Bible is real. I said, well, maybe they are doing it for believers just so that we can have understanding. I listened, I watch the videos, I pay attention, I get to learn a lot from them. But for me, sometimes, one brother the other day, this is my convention I went for, minister's session, so we're having this breakout session. And he asked a question. He said, church has come, you know, they've depleted some of his members. You know how? So, and he thinks that, you know, they have this flashing light, nice stage, background light, all those, by the way, church, sometimes we feel like we are not normal. You know, we are competing with disco hall for appearance. I went to preach somewhere one day. And so the light, they do chomp, chomp, chomp. And they looked at the church. When it was about to get to the point where they would call me up, I called my guy. I said, please tell them that those lights will go off when I'm coming up. I'm not performing for you people. He said, young people, I'm not young people. I don't care. This was long ago. I was still young though, but I said, no. The word of God is not young people word. The word is a word. Look, you young people, don't let them deceive you. At your age, Samuel was prophesied.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you get my point?
Yes, sir.
David was already anointed king. Don't tell me that because we are young people, our head cannot set. If we don't see red, blue, and green, we're going to go to church. God has not appeared to you, that's all. So the brother was saying that, is it wrong? Because he was also looking for money to arrange things so that they will stop leaving him. I'm going to meet those people. I said, my bro. I said, that is called worldliness. Yeah, I told him. I said, it's worldliness. I said, bro, raise one dead. You will see that church will empty your own. All this one of trying to compete on who has bass guitar, subwoofer, and lights. It's because nobody has the power of God. Nobody. Nobody has. That's why we have time to pay all of us. God, you all look and say, hey, these children. Look at what they are raising money for. To buy children. They have to go and pray, on the fire falls. When fire falls, people will rush and say, what is going on here? So I told the brother, I said, bro, forget this worldliness thing. And what you are trying to do is attract flaky, empty people. If you want to build your ministry on empty people that don't have an appetite for substance, do that. But the one people that really love the word of God, ignore those things. You know, preach better word. Are you getting my point? Pray better prayer. Minister the word of God. Have testimonies of what God is doing in people's lives. And forget whose light is shining all over the place. The Lord is good. Apart from it being the desire of my heart, I tell you that's what the Lord is going to do in this season. He's going to give each person here a testimony.
Amen.
He will do something. You know why we're talking about Abraham till today? Because of how old Sarah was. Are you getting my point? That's why we're talking about Abraham. He will do something for you that will be a story to tell.
Amen.
The one that's exciting me is that it's going to be something that you have left. Yeah, no, there are times you just leave something. You know why you leave it? You know when God spoke to Abraham, he said, Abraham's asking, what will you give me? See, now it wasn't like, will you give me a child? He said, since we have concluded on that matter, what's my compensation? It was God and I brought up the matter. And that's what I'm telling somebody, that there will be matters you have left. God will bring it up by himself.
Amen.
And he will do it in such a manner that it will be a testimony. When you are telling the story, say, what did you, I don't know. I will just, I like the story of this woman, this man there. Lift him up. Wrong canal. Sometimes, let's not be too grabby. After you have prayed about something to the Lord two or three times, leave it there. After the third time, if he doesn't want to grant it, he's not planning to grant it. But actually, he has heard it, he will grant it.
Amen.
It's just when it will manifest. Ron Kennelly had done everything. I'm sure he sowed seeds. He was a Christian musician. He wanted to do music for God. And, of course, you know what happened. Nobody agreed to give him what they call contract, so sign him up. At that time, listen to this. Please, always have something you are doing to keep your heart busy and stop worrying about your worries. Be busy with other things. Good enough, he had a job as music, some churches will say music director. In America, they say music pastor. So he was in charge of their music in the church. He was leading praise worship and doing all those music things, training the choir, leading the choir, doing all those pastoral things. So when he got the last rejection letter, he was so dejected. He said, well, dear Lord, if nobody wants to listen to me, you gave me the gift, you must listen. I said, God has nowhere to go to. But wherever you are, he's there. So he entered church and locked himself and God inside. And for 2 straight hours, he was playing all the songs of worship in his soul. 2 hours. He played and played. He sang and sang. What was his reason? He said, Lord, since they don't want to hear you, you must hear. That was what he did. And finally, and then he now made a vow after that day. He said, Lord, I'm done. I'm not asking anybody. I'm not trying to sign any contract. I don't want to release any album again. This work here, let me put myself inside it. He put himself inside the work. I don't know how long from that prayer until Don Moore walked in after service one day and said to him, introduce himself. I'm one of the directors in Integrity Music. I gave him his card. I wanted to pray about recording an album with us. Doing that work, his gist has spread. Are you seeing what I'm saying? People have talked to people, and these people were looking for, they were looking for new musicians and artists and all of that. Somebody said, ah, have you been to that church? He didn't know all of this was happening until they told him, please, go and pray about this. He had left the matter. He said that day that that was one thing I didn't have to pray about. I like to tell the story that he told us the story. I mean, I was sitting in front like this, you know, and he was preaching like this. Maybe I was not in front, but I was near the front. I went for a conference in Lagos those days, and he came. So I didn't, you know, minister session. So all those of us, we big ministers, you know. Brethren, that was like 1994. I don't know. But that's why I just finished NYC. Just came to Lagos. So I sat there that day. He said, that was one thing I didn't have to pray about. I don't pray tired before. The second album he released was a worldwide hit. That was Lift Him Up that we all know. That was the second one. The first one was Jesus Is Alive. You can still get that one, the Jesus Is Alive. When they released Lift Him Up, Jesus is my Lord. You all know this too. I mean, okay. Maybe it's so long ago, people like Faith had not been born. All right, I can understand. I almost forgot. Sorry, I thought everybody was... I forgot this young boy is looking and said, what is... Meaning him Lift Him Up. If people like Faith can be confused, I mean... We were there that time. Like, you know, how many people remember that? It was even the videos most of us watched. It was the videos. We soaked inside it. Unbelievers could sing the song from beginning to the end. Yeah, it was everywhere. That was after he had left it. And that brother told me a story, sent an email after he had left it also. Went to go abroad to go and do his advanced, you know, degrees in subspecialty of engineering. He did everything. It didn't work. His father was ready to support him, sell land to buy, you know, sponsorship abroad, that to sponsor him abroad. Doors did not open. He now quoted something he said, I said, that I was quoting another minister, that people grab onto things too much. Then relax. What is the work God has given you now? Put your energy into that now and forget that one. Ah, he thought about it. He decided to forget it. He said, I asked himself, what are the things God gave me now? There are two things. It was an assistant lecturer, or he was a junior lecturer in the university. And he was a youth pastor, assistant pastor, youth side on in church. So these are the things that God has given me. He said he poured himself into it so much, his father told him he had lost direction. His own father, that was willing to sell landed property to sponsor him for postgraduate abroad, told him, he had lost direction. He has forgotten his dreams. But you know what he said? Now, it's not 2 days, 2 years. Talk about going abroad, leave that thing. Postgraduate, I'm not interested. Leave it. I have work I'm doing. Church is there, counseling young people, teaching them, doing all they had to do. University, he's there, you know, assisting the other lecturers, giving lectures they give to him, doing everything he needed to do. He never approached that, and he lived with his parents. He never went near that subject again. That his father said, this boy, you know, just by the way, I have that, what is that? What did they say? We have a reputation, yes. I have that reputation of confusing people, making them lose the drive. Elder John, you know what it comes to your daddy? People have yapped people that say, you are following Pastor Banky. That's why you don't have drive. Yeah, I'm not kidding. People have told people that because you are not driven because you are following Pastor Banky. Now, if you're like that, you're talking that kind, your head not correct, really, seriously. You need deliverance. You don't understand the word of God. I take stress out of people so they can wait and be alive and wait when God brings their blessing. No, that day after we talked and I got home, I started thinking. I said, whoever said that, those people are very, I'm sorry, if this person is hearing this, you're a very foolish human being. The reason why I say so is that you don't know those who have followed me for years. You don't know all of them. People have taken drive out of. You were here the other day when one of them stepped on my birthday, came here to honor me on my birthday. He's a federal minister of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. He used to drive me to go and preach. He's the one that said opening prayer and took announcement in the kingdom word. Yes, that's why he came. Before he will make any major decision, he'll be in my house. We will pray. I will do when he first ran for one office that time, we gathered brethren to pray. You know the way politics is. It steps on dangerous grounds all the time, but it doesn't go to any shrine. His strength is in the word of God. There are times he will call those days, what God's going to say, sir, say a word, and he will prophesy. After one will go, was I thinking about it? I said, some people don't have sense. They don't have sense. Honestly. You come and ask me those who hung around me over the years, where they are. I have that reputation that I take people. One lady attacks somebody. Don't listen to him. Pastor Banky has confused him. I'm telling you. You know, when I heard those things, I actually was happy. Because they said about Jesus Christ that he's besides himself. So if I make people mad, I'm with Jesus Christ. Yes. Paul spoke, they said, your much learning has made you mad. This young man, his father has looked at it. I mean, there was one that his father came here one day to look for me that have confused his son. And his son is abroad. I'm in Nigeria. They told him that, like, look, the only person that this boy will listen to is Pastor Bank. He was angry. When he came, I wasn't around, which the Lord planned, because I don't know how I would have reacted to him. I don't know. He was so vexed. Some things he said that time, they're unprintable. I have that reputation of confusing people. May you be confused. Amen. Yes. Yes, really. That kind of confusion. Because when God will alight upon you with his light, they will know who was confused. This young man, his father told him he was confused. I'm sure if he had my address, he'll call me. You have confused my son. Except that 2 years later, the boy was at home. He got an email. He said there was one application he placed some time ago. They told him to report for an interview. Where? Online. So he quickly arranged where he would get good internet. He said, I was hardly prepared. But I went for the interview, answered a few questions. He said, I didn't think I did well. Said they had 4 positions all over Africa. There were thousands of applications. It was one of the 4 they picked. And they gave him a fully sponsored postgraduate training, 100% abroad, to go and do a PhD in the subspecialty of electronics engineering. He said, 2 years later, he said, then Jesus surprised me. We printed the testimony, one of these magazines, I can't even remember which one. Yeah, it was such a blessing. I had it printed. If you have any of the old, you see the testimony inside there. Says, I'm just settling in. Let me send this message before I start work. Let me say it again. God is going to surprise somebody.
Amen.
That young man said, Jesus surprised me. And I'm saying to you, he will surprise you.
Amen.
I said, he will surprise you.
Amen.
He will surprise you with healing.
Amen.
He will surprise you with finances.
Amen.
He will surprise you with a beautiful home.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There was a brother that waited the other day when he was giving his testimony. So when he met the sister Emma, those of you know what I'm talking about. He was the one doing registration and she stepped in for the conference. He looked at her and said, Kai, this is the kind of person he would like to marry. And he continued his work. Okay, you remember the testimony. At the end of the day, it was 2 days later or so. I just want to mention names. Somebody you know just walked up to him. I said, hey, bro, I want to make this sister. It was that sister he met at the door. Introduced the 2 of them. Exactly 2 years later, they were married. The Lord is good.
God is good.
Who is God going to surprise in the house? Now let me tell you another thing he will do for you. You will hear good news from a loved one.
Amen.
Yes. Yes, it's not just you. See, there's a way I pray for people sometimes. And when I'm praying, so I say, God, you know that there are people that their troubles will take sleep away from me. So don't only bless me, bless them. Because if you bless me and you don't bless them, I still will not be happy. So what is now do you understand? That's why the Bible called make my joy complete. Complete the joy. Salvation for your father.
Amen.
Salvation for your brother.
Amen.
For your sister.
Amen.
For your loved one.
Amen.
There's a cousin of yours you love so much. Bow your head now. Pray for him. Pray for her. Especially for salvation. God is always looking for who we pray for who. Don't take pride in being the one that knows the Lord. What about your family members? Just take a minute and ask God. Say, Lord, I ask for the sake. See, this prayer is not hard. Amos just said, Lord, please stop. That's all. How will Israel survive? For she's so small. Just say, Lord, I love this my cousin. I love him so much. I don't want him to die in his sin. Make alcohol a bitter thing in his mouth. Because now he's giving to wine, giving to drink. Just remove joy from him in things that are not the things of God, things of eternity. Say, Lord, remove that joy from him. Let him search for you. And Lord, let him find you. At the same time, pray for a loved one that is sick. Remember the testimony I shared recently? Brain tumor disappeared. Say, what happened? Say, me and my sister, we prayed. Brethren, God answers prayers. Oh. Let's just pray in faith and trust that he's listening. And he has heard. And he has granted. And I prophesy that every faith needed, Holy Spirit, impart into your people. Impart it. In the name of Jesus, we have prayed.
Amen.
The Lord is good. All right, let's open our Bibles. Let me just complete the thing I wanted to share with us today. We are provoking faith. If faith is in the heart, please don't forget that woman, no. That Syrophoenician woman. She was not an Israelite. Was not one of the Jews. But you see, the same God is rich unto all that call upon him. You know, Jesus, when he was on the earth, even though he had equality with God before coming, on earth, he functioned like a blessed human being. That's why he kept calling himself the Son of Man. Do you understand? Now, what I mean by that is this. He didn't know everything. Many people think he knew everything. He did not. When he was on earth. To know everything is part of God's glory. He laid it aside. Equality with God was set aside. He had to learn obedience through suffering. That's how human he was. When he got to the house of Lazarus, you know, he asked questions. Where have you laid him? You know why he asked? He did not know. And the Holy Spirit did not reveal it. So he asked Martha, where have you laid him? He asked Mary, let's go. One boy was sick one day. And the disciples prayed and prayed and prayed. And the boy wasn't healed. That boy that had epileptic fit and the thing used to cast into fire. Do you remember him? And the father came to Jesus, if you can do anything. You know, Jesus asked a question. How long has it been like this? You know why he asked? He did not know. You know why I'm saying this? When the Syrophoenician woman came to ask for healing, he also did not know the daughter would be healed. That woman harassed Peter, James, and John. You know, Jesus was not as... People think that everybody could just go to him anytime they liked. It's not true. Peter, James, and John used to face, you know, the mounted guard. What are you looking for? Master, they sleep. Go, come back. But the woman harassed them so much, they had to come and beg the Lord, please now. The woman was making noise. There was no peace for them. And Jesus will hear and won't say anything. You know why he didn't? There was no word from God. There was no word from the Holy Spirit. And the commission he had was to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We know that because when he sent people out, he gave them the rules specifically. So they said, all right, if you won't do anything for her, please. Let her go so that we can have some peace. He said, okay, let her come. So she came and he said to her, that's why I said everything. He said, look, what I have is reserved for the children of Israel, the people of the covenant. And you know, it is not right to take the children's bread and give to dogs. And the woman said, now, this is what I want you to understand. And the woman said, I know. Then the Holy Spirit breathed faith into her. He said, but at least, what about when crumbs fall down? Are dogs allowed to pick? Are they not allowed to pick? She just said, ah, now that's where I'm going. That was what he discovered too. Yes, that's, you know, to know everything is the glory of God. At that time, suddenly revelation hit him. He said, wow, great is your faith. You know what I'm saying? Even when sometimes when it appears like maybe the Lord, you're not sure, let the faith be great. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
Let the faith be great. God will do all kinds of miracles in our lives. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask for great faith.
Amen.
We ask for great faith.
Amen.
Faith to walk on water.
Amen.
Faith, the type that made the Syrophoenician woman receive healing for her daughter.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Great faith is our desire.
Amen.
Great faith is our request.
Amen.
Great faith for all kinds of manifestations of the power of God.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Great faith. What we are doing is provoking faith. Something I want to share with us briefly today. As part of this, our provoking faith series for health and for vitality, even when we are old. Revelation chapter 1. Today, I want to talk again about the name of the Lord. I'm going to read just for the fun of reading, I'll read all the verses, most of the verses before, but where I'm going is verse 5. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his bond servants the things which must soon take place, and he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bond servant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Now, John now began to speak. Look at verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Please notice that, because I'm talking about the name of God, all right? Grace to you and peace from him who is, and who was, and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now, I read all of this to bring out one line. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. He said, I'll just jump the end of the line because it's in parenthesis. Early part of 6 in parenthesis. He said, to him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, I want you to notice how he described the Lord. He said, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. That's the name of the Lord. It's the name of God. In fact, that portion in my Bible is underlined. There's this particular way I underline when the name of God is given. That's what I use to underline it. Now, I want us to understand one of the things we must do in this life. I think we mentioned it a bit earlier, but today I want us to go through it. We must learn to call the name of the Lord all the time. God is a good name, but that's not what I mean. And everybody answers the name God. All kinds of persons. We are the ones that now use G and big G and small G. Many people answer the name Jesus. I've even heard of their footballers that their name is Jesus. Yeah. So Jesus, without qualification, really, is just J-E-S-U-S. For cutting cake. Are you getting my point? Each time, you know, the mention of that name must reflect something in our hearts. So here, look at the way John said it. He said, to him who loves us and healed us of our diseases. Did you catch that? To him who loves us and keeps us in perfect health. To him who loves us and supplies all our needs. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
To him who has power over every affliction in our lives. To him who died for our sins and nailed our sufferings to his cross. To him who took our pain in stripes on his body. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. I hope you are getting that. One of the things we must learn to do is to call the name of the Lord all the time and lift the name of the Lord over everything. Let me say something, all right? Even when we are praying about afflictions and troubles, let's be careful that the afflictions and troubles don't become magnified. I don't know whether you got that point. See, talk less about your troubles. Talk more about him that loves you. Did you catch what I'm saying? You know, one of the problems I have with people in conversations, of course, you know, I told you I've had all kinds of names. Of course, these are people who don't understand. One of my classmates said, I like to bury my head in the sand. I bury my head in the word. It's not sand. Every time you want to talk, you want to tell me what is wrong with the country. You want to tell me what is wrong with the See, I've never sat down amongst an average group of people and they've told me what is right with the president of the country. And I've had presidents, if I count the presidents that I've been under and heads of states, as an adult in Nigeria, let me not waste your time. I think you should be close to 10, Abby. That's an adult too. The earliest in my adulthood is Babangida. The first Buhari tenure, I was still kind of young. But when I got to university, I think Babangida, when did he come in? 85, right? 85. Yeah, so Babangida was my first president as an adult. After that, how many have I seen? Babangida, Shonekan, Abdusalami. No, Abacha before Abdusalami. Then Obasanjo, then Yar'Adua, then Goodluck Jonathan, then Buhari, Bola, Jagaban, Tinubu. Nine heads of state, and nobody ever sat with me and told me what was right with them. If not all of them, but then we are bad people. Yeah, something's wrong with us. So I just made myself, I told myself I'll be different. So when I want to discuss with people about the country, I look at the good side. You know, one of my friends did something today, I laughed. I said, you know, when you just want to believe in something. Do you know, how many prime ministers have the UK had in the last 5 years that you are aware of? How many? Somebody say two. Don't say two. You that are saying two. There was one girl that even lasted, is it 3 months? What's her name of that woman? I know, you know who I'm talking about. So you know the current one now, they are trying to sack him now. Today now, as of today, they are trying to sack the guy. So I made a joke of it, posted it to my classmates. I said, I like UK. They have a lot of people who can be head of state, so they're always changing them. So you come and do your portion 3 weeks. You do your portion 5 months. So I was making a joke. I said, not like people like United States that will put one person in power for 8 years. So those people, they don't have a lot of presidents available, so they manage them. When they grab one, 8 years. I said, Nigeria, we'll put one president in power for 8 years. We don't have too many. So they knew I was mocking. Somebody now answered me. He lives in the UK. He said, you see, that's real democracy, where democracy works. If you don't perform, we remove you. If you are good, you will last like Margaret Thatcher. I said, my brother, that's history. I said, now dance. Christmas, they take enter market. I said, you boy, but. I said, small dance. That you people are losing. Instead of you to agree, admit that things are going wrong, you are defending it. That can't be defending nonsense. You are changing prime minister every other week and you say that it's because democracy works. That works to you. So I said, yes, like Americans, they don't know democracy. The rest of Europe, they don't know democracy. Only you people know democracy. Changing prime minister for us every other day. I said, things only were war. Admit it. I said, small than that is. Come on, clothes with you. The Lord is good. Where I'm going is that somebody defended that as democracy. It's called faith. It's called faith. The same persons, if we tried in Nigeria, they go abuse us tire. That's why you don't have power. That's why you don't have road. That's why you don't have security. You are already changing your president. But when they are doing it in their own country, you know, it shows democracy works. Nonsense. It's faith. That's what I'm saying. So, I have a responsibility. In my own, in the place where I live, you know, I've told you before, what do? I contribute faith. So, no matter what's happening, I also look for a good thing to it. I speak well. I continually contribute what? Faith. You can't afford to be talking about your problems all the time. That's why I'm going with all of this talk. You keep faith in your heart. In the same manner, when you have issues in your life, let it not be topic of discussion all the time. Your topic of discussion is what? To him who loves us. To him who loves me and has redeemed me from my sins. That should be your topic of discussion. You should talk more about that than about your pain. Let me be honest with you. If you want people to pray with you, don't talk too much about your pain. Talk more of, maybe you're not feeling well. How are you? I thank God. At least I'm better today than I was last week. Look for something good. I was able to eat. There was something they gave me last week. I was able to eat and I thank God for it. How are you feeling now? I'm getting better. Please, before you go, pray with me. Should I tell you the truth? The person will pray with you and call again and visit again. And you'll be encouraged again and again until you are totally healed. But if he's, do you know this leg? Doesn't let me get up. The whole night I don't sleep. The whole night I don't sleep. The doctor said I would just die. I'm just thinking now, do you have any message for the Lord when I travel so I can give the Lord for you? Brethren, they will pray with you and escape. They will escape. It's human. You see, it's because you drain their faith. You drain their joy. It's better, they would rather come back. They say, that's why what that young woman or that young man is going through. Tonight I got there. He managed to smile through his pain. They will come back to look at that smile. Further, they say, pray with me. They will give thanks. You know what? You want to know the truth? See, let me tell you something. This is how faith works. It calls those things that don't appear right now as though they were. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
It's not self-deception. It's focusing on the things that matter. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
To him who loves us and has delivered us from our sins. Talk more about the Lord. And that's what I want to share with us today. There are five areas we must talk about the Lord. Yes, I wrote five. One, must talk about God's power. Know what he said about him? With him, nothing shall be impossible. Say it. Say it.
To him who loves me,
with whom nothing will be impossible.
You
know, to him who loves us and has redeemed us from our sins. To him who loves us and with him nothing is impossible. With whom all things are possible. To him who loves us, who loves me and is the creator of the heavens and the earth. To him who loves me and is the healer of all kinds of diseases. To him who loves me and changes the past, and can change the present and create a new future. I'm talking about the power of God. Let's take a moment and talk about him. Talk about him to your soul. Say, to him who loves me and has done all things well. If there's any affliction in your body, speak to that thing. Now, they're not telling the affliction to go. You are telling the affliction about the Lord. Say, the Lord loves me and he nailed all my sicknesses to the cross. To him who loves me, with whom nothing shall be impossible. Just a minute. Talk about that Lord. The name of the Lord must be found on your mouth, on your lips, more than any other thing. Please, if you have financial trouble, stop discussing Bola Tinubu as the president. Shetima, our vice president. And all the politicians, they have spoiled this country. I don't know what's going on. One man even began to blame Dangote for increasing fuel price. Abba. Even when things are not going well, say, what's happening in the country? It'd be like, say, God break the staff of bread. It'd be like a joke. But really, you're acknowledging the one who loves me and holds power, all power in his hands. Look at what John said about him here. He says, the ruler of the kings of the earth. Say it again. To him who loves us and is the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and who was raised up from the dead and has released into the earth his resurrection power. To him be all the glory. and the dominion forever and ever. Glory and dominion does not belong to pain, does not belong to affliction, does not belong to the devil. It belongs to him who loves me, who is the ruler of the kings of this earth. And please, as we are going towards the next election, that's how you'll be calling God. The one who loves us is the governor amongst the nations. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. That's what you should say. As we are moving towards election in Nigeria, I'm giving a word to the church of God in this nation. This is what you will continually say. To him who loves us and is the ruler of the kings of this earth, the governor amongst the nations, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of Jesus we have prayed. Let me describe the Lord for us again. I said there are five areas I want us to remember. Now let's remember his love. His power. That's first of all. Please do. There's nothing that's impossible with God. There is no disease that's incurable with him. There is none. There's none. Please let me recommend this book again. I've recommended it before. I'll recommend for everybody to go and get these books, not just one. Catherine Kuhlman's, let me just mention three of them quickly. I think there are more, but these are the three I read all the time. I Believe in Miracles. God Can Do It Again. Nothing is Impossible with God. Those three books. Again, why do I recommend those books? Because they are researched testimonies. They are not just testimonies people wrote in. They are testimonies that they sought, that is, they investigated, you know. You know what this man said in the book of Luke chapter 1? Luke. You know what he said? Verse 3, he said, having carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I also have decided to write an accurate account for you, most honorable Theophilus. I look at that book, that was what they did, those books. They took each testimony and investigated them. There was no testimony they published of healing that the doctor was not verified. There were some in which the doctor wanted nothing to do with such nonsense and threatened. So they dropped the testimony out of the book. Not because they didn't believe it, but you know, part of they set the rules, first of all. One of them is that the doctors must be talked to. They must investigate with the doctors. And then the last one is that, first, the person must, because these books were written long after the healings took place, the person must still be healed. Do you understand? Yes. And then the last one was that the person must be living a good Christian life. There was one particular woman they talked about, when I read something about it later, in which she fulfilled all of those. The doctor agreed to testify. If you want, I'll give you a copy of the records and everything. But there was only one problem. The woman turned to her, Omo Jai Jai. What do they call Jai Jai? You don't know what they call Jai Jai? Once God gave her strength back, in a nightclub, she said, see, you people, I have strength now. She was boogieing down every day. So they couldn't include her testimony because she did not serve God the way they thought was, you know, the Bible said to serve him acceptably. No, she didn't serve him acceptably. She began to live like a worldly person. So they dropped the testimony. Even though it was validated, they had the records, the doctor was willing to testify, they dropped the testimony. It's the reason why I recommend those books. Why am I recommend the books again? So that you will see real life testimonies of what looked impossible, made possible. Do you understand? Sometimes we read these stories in the Bible. It's good to have modern stories. So please, read them. You know, you will read that. No, faith will be kindled in your heart. That's what I'm saying. To him who loves us, and with whom nothing is impossible. Nothing. Nothing is impossible. Let's take a moment and reject every affliction. See, you remember we're talking about affliction? Reject affliction. Say, Lord, I have been forgiven. That's what we ended last time. Say, Lord, I have been forgiven. I have been forgiven. Affliction, therefore, is oppression. Now I reject oppression. In the name of Jesus, I have been set free. Declare it again that the spirit of healing, of resurrection, the power of resurrection, is working in me, giving life to my mortal body. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, that resurrection spirit, is giving life to my mortal body. is giving life to my mortal body. Let me just list the other portions. We'll do these declarations again. First, I talked about God's power, right? Number two, let's talk about God's love. All right? Listen, brethren, when I talk about God's love, He's always trying to solve problems. You hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
He's always. He actually does not. The next one is very similar to it. I talk about God's compassion. But about God's compassion, okay, maybe should I talk about the two together? No, let me take love first. This is how God is. For God is not an emotional. Are you getting my point? No, it's not an emotion. If I say, God loved the poor man, and he told him, do, that's not love. That's not love. For God so loved the world, that he did what? He gave his only begotten son. He's not finished though. Uh-huh. So that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have. So you see, the person was going to perish. Those that don't believe, they've been condemned already. So now, because of that condemnation, he gave his only begotten son so that they will not perish but have something. That's love. So literal Greek means, for God showed his love for the world like this. For God thus loved the world. Love, as far as God is concerned, is a love of action. It's action. It's not just, oh, you are sick, eh? Pele, and it goes away. No, that's not God. He makes provision. Now, he doesn't have to feel anything about it. It just, that's the way he is. He makes provision available. Many times we don't see it, but it's available. You know what John said? Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. What's the next line? He that doesn't love does not know God. What is the reason? For God is love. I just felt like quoting that. It's very sweet. All right? It's not sweet to quote. It's very sweet. But God is love. All he's talking about, the fact that, like I said, it's not an emotion. God always makes abundant provision available for any problem anybody will have. That's the meaning of God is love. I hope I get my point. Let me tell you the meaning of God is love also. He has provision available at different levels. What do I mean by different levels? Let me explain. See, at the end of the day, you'll be totally well.
Amen.
If you're listening to me, at the end of the day, you'll be totally well.
Amen.
Sometimes we have this kind of sense of condemnation. Somebody, you know, he prayed, and then he got healed 100%. What message did you take? No, I told the Lord I won't swallow any tablet. But you the eye your panadol. I don't go take. You quickly swallow two. And when you finish swallowing the two, without be feeling condemned. Now let me tell you today, no need to feel condemned. No need. I'm giving you this as a word of prophecy, all right? God has provision for every level. Yes, every level. Because the next line you see, let me talk about it. The third thing is the compassion of God. God is compassionate. He's merciful. That's the other word for it. He's merciful. He's slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness or in mercy. That's it. What I mean by he's merciful? He has provision, that's love, at every level. And then, in his mercy, he helps you reach the level where you can tap. He won't say, except your faith reaches 100, you won't get healed. What faith do you have? Grain of mustard seed. Okay, what can it achieve? It's even smaller than that, don't worry. What can it achieve? This headache is killing me. Now, it's a brain tumor. You don't know. So you go and take paracetamol, and it will go away. I don't know whether I heard that. Now, medically speaking, paracetamol does not remove brain tumors. But you know what? It gives you peace for 5 minutes. In that 5 minutes, your anxiety goes away. Because anxiety makes people drown. See, in this life, you know, I've said it before, you must fight anxiety. You must fight it. Put your eyes on the Lord. Don't be anxious about anything. You know, let me tell these stories again. I've told a number of them here before. This was one I want to tell. It was told by the prophet, Sadhu Salvaraj. A woman came to him. The child had one serious ear. I think couldn't hear or something. So he wanted to go to hospital. They said, no, you have to believe God, believe God, believe God, believe God. So she came. Said, there's a prophet coming to town. So time to minister to people. As soon as he saw the woman, the Holy Spirit just told him, when that woman gets to you, don't pray for the child. Tell her to take the child to hospital. Ah. So when the woman got to him, time to pray for her, he just said, my sister, I'm not going to pray for you. So the woman started crying. So he felt that the woman thought she was unworthy of his prayer. So he was not begging, no, that's not what happened. I just want to take the child to the hospital. The woman answered, that's not why I'm crying. Why are you crying? I don't have faith for this kind of supernatural healing. It's the elders in my church that say I must come here. Did you catch that?
Yes,
so when the man of God said, go to hospital, God said to him, tell her that I will go ahead and work with the surgeons and the boy will be well. So when the prophet said that to her, the cry was a cry of relief. Huh? And the man said, no problem, go. The Lord said he will go. He will put his hand on the hands of the surgeon and the boy will be well. And exactly what happened. Now there were those who stayed there. He laid hands and he got healed. Pum, like this. At the end of the day, you will be healed.
Amen.
And you will give God the glory.
Amen.
There is none good but God. Don't ever take the glory elsewhere. Say, God, me, that doctor is very good. That one will kill your relative. He will kill your relative. He will forget one hammer inside his head. I know what I'm telling you. There is none good but God. Give the Lord glory. I keep using this illustration. Kennedy Hagin taught us faith. By faith, as a young boy, he got up from a sick bed. Had two incurable diseases, each one that was able to kill him. Yet he got well. He was praying one day, and the Lord told him to lay his hands on his mother-in-law. She had a huge goiter. Placed his hand on her goiter, he said, went down like as if he pricked a balloon with a pin. 90%. So why 90%? God said, the balance 10%. She has to go to the hospital, go to the church. She'll go forward, they will pray for her, the balance 10% will go. Exactly what happened. This man married a woman, the daughter of this other woman. And she had the goiter choking her to death, and he could do nothing about it. Do I need to tell you he prayed and prayed? I don't need to tell you. You know he must have risen up at night. Hey, Kalaba, prayed in tongues, do everything, pray, lay hands. She didn't get well. She was giving him, instructions on what to do with the children when she would have died. This is how you handle Ken. This is how you handle Pat. Giving instructions on what he will do. Then one day they were ministering, they were praying, and suddenly the Lord appeared to him in the vision and said, tell your wife to go and be operated on, for she will live and not die. Because before then, she had said she's not going for surgery. Because she had this strong belief that if she went there, she won't come back alive. Yet in a vision, the Lord said, now, the same God that cured this one without any doctor, deflated the goiter of the mother like a balloon. The child of that woman had a goiter. And for whatever reason, the balloon refused to get popped. What was the reason? I don't know. I could try and guess, but it's not going to help us this evening. I'm just trying to explain the compassion of the Lord. You know, talk about his love. What that does, it makes provision available in every dimension. But it's compassion. So you took paracetamol tablets yesterday, say, you don't have faith. Go and die. No, he doesn't do that. You say, Pele, has paracetamol helped you? You say, no, see, it's not going to work. Let's do something else. Do you get my point? He's not angry at all. Let me tell you, what God, I should caution this. Does he get angry? Yes. Just that he's slow. Some bad thing you've been doing again and again. Some people have been laughing at people who go to church for prayer. Better stop laughing. Otherwise, you'll get affliction that doctor cannot cure. And they will drag your butt to hospital to get to church. 10 days fasting and prayer. And you are the one that will do the fast. The other day will be eating. So that God will make sure you suffer well. Then before you are healed, you will get up. I want to confess, I've been laughing at those who go to church. That's what God does not like. When you start thinking you have sense more than other people, One of our brothers the other day, the dad was here. He came to me that the man said he doesn't want to take medicine again. I said, you see, this one you are here shouting. It's because you're not the one taking the medicine. As if he says, no, leave him alone. One of some of these people, sometimes they are surprised. I say, hey, see, I know the kind of message that they talk. You know, when you have not been sick, you think we are talking antibiotics. There are drugs that they give you, you can't get up for a week. They give you medicine, you start seeing double. They give you medicine after 3 days, you start vomiting all the time. This is the only medicine we can use. Sometimes some patients just get tired. Say, what is it now? It's not to live a few more months. Let me die now. Let me die in peace. Then become many times when I come say, this person say, won't take medicine again. So what do you want me to do? If they say so, increase the prayer dose. Don't fight them. Sometimes you have aged parents who did not start rejecting medicine. Don't fight them. They have their reasons. I had a doctor working with me those days. He had mental issues. When he gets treated, he'll be fine. So one day when I tell him, but why didn't you take your medicine? Ah, the guy said, look, that when you take the medicine, that even his thoughts, and he's not lying, that even his thoughts become slow. And he's not lying, he's not a joke. You tell him, do 2 + 2. You do it in half a second. He'll take him 5 seconds to decide 2 + 2 is equal to 4. So you don't blame him. So he just starts forgetting. Yeah, I know he's going to get better if he will take it, but then you start having compassion on him. So you start begging, okay, try. You don't just get angry. Every time people have come to me, say, this man saying he won't take medicine, I say, leave him alone. Go and pray for him. I think I'm going to join to be persuading him, please, please, please. If they give you 2 shots of those medicines, you will know what they are talking about. I'm talking about the Lord's compassion. That's the point I'm making. It's compassionate. He's not angry with somebody because other people had faith. You don't have faith, you now went to hospital. He will wait for you there. What he just doesn't like is a wrong attitude. When they are correcting you, when they are telling you, because listen, let me tell you another thing. Learn to obey God in small, small things. Don't put all your faith. Because sometimes when I'm preaching, don't some people are bold enough. Let me just tell you something. Okay? I shouldn't say this about myself because I'm the preacher, but I also have to say it so that I will help people. If I'm preaching, don't laugh at me. You will suffer for it. I'm not kidding. You can laugh at my beer. That's allowed. That's not the word of God. You're technical. You can laugh at my bald head. I'm not Elisha. I'm not going to send beer after you. That's not what I mean. Say, this pastor is overweight. It's okay. I'm not angry. The Holy Spirit is not angry. Why is he always wearing dark colors? It's because of my face. I'm not angry. You can say all of those. They don't matter. As long as it doesn't distract you. But if I say something, like one day I went to preach somewhere, somebody say, hey, this pastor does not know African demons. You will suffer. And I'm not, look, I'm not, do I know you? If you can't take it, log out. When I start saying things about life, just keep quiet, shut your brain. Even if you can't process, just leave it. I know what I'm saying there. I'm not saying this because of me. People I'm talking to, you don't even know who I'm talking. Don't come and take offense. Because it doesn't go unpunished. Bishop Edoko used to say, no word from God leaves you the same. Either he's bringing you up or he's taking you down. That he never leaves you the same. And you know what makes me laugh? You say ignoramuses. Who don't know science, they don't know spirit. They just went to one website. One obscure human being just wrote something for them. And I tell them there's nothing like that because that's the business they do for money. There are those who are selling alkaline water. When I talk, they're angry. Go and get a real job. Sell noodles. People eat noodles and it's good. Sell cassava. Sell beans. Don't sell us alkaline water. It's fraud. They take offense. Once in a while, these people send emails. Like, you don't get respect too. If I'm preaching, you don't know what I'm preaching. Leave it now. There's one guy who sent email once. I laughed. I actually laughed. Then I read this mail. I laughed. I saw some of those mails. You know why I laughed? The very thing that I was correcting was offending him. I was trying to tell me that what I'm saying is not good. Then he described the problem with the things I was correcting. That is, the correction I was trying to make. He didn't even realize that he was the very thing I've said is what you are saying now. But he's so provoked because he made money from the business. One young lady, a journalist, she went around investigating whether, trying to say that people who say the miraculous power, that's all a fraud. So God gave her small cancer of the gallbladder. while she was on the project. Is it fair to say, ah, Lord, have mercy on me? She now said that, I know they will say it is, I know they will say it's because of what I'm doing. I said, what is, God said, what will I now do to this girl now? What God, I can tell you, what God wanted is that, just go there. I said, man of God, I was abusing people, but now I know that there's God. Can you just touch it? If they would do that, honestly, God will wipe that thing. But her heart was too hard. She was not writing as she waited to die. I said, die, you shall die. If they are giving testimonies of miracles happen, some people say, are you sure that brain tumor is gone? Are you sure it won't come back? Are you sure Lazarus won't die again? Because Jesus Christ raised him again. That's the kind of people, the skeptics, these are the ones that God has a problem with. But the one who's begging for mercy, who cannot stand, as some people say, stand by faith, don't use medicine, and it goes to hospital, God will go there with him. That's what I'm saying. God is not angry. In the time of small, small things also, show God that you believe. That's why I said all of those things. When you've read a lot of nonsense, God sends me, I know what I'm telling you, to go and correct you. No, I don't want to undermine all the faith many of people have in mind. If I tell you some things, you'll be shocked. One woman the other day, I saw her, you know, there's a new video they were just released. I was watching the video. Immediately I went online to go and research. This girl is telling the truth. I was not even, although I've mentioned it before, that, you know, they say those who have Alzheimer's disease, they have plaques in the brain. Pharmaceutical companies develop drugs to remove those plaques, except that they don't work. The plaques will go, but people don't get their memory back. Now, that's not where I'm going. And they still kept on giving people the drugs at $25,000 a shot. So she's angry. Good enough, I knew about that plaque thing not working. I knew that I've even shared it here before. So that's what God is saying. This one, sometimes I come to tell people, he said, hey, the key to health. You wake up every morning and run up and down. I have told you, before you run up and down, scripture up and down, pray up and down, confess the word up and down. That's what God will be angry with you. If you disagree with me on that one, he will be offended. Because I'm not trying to undermine your physical exercise. I'm saying, more importantly, is God's word. That's why he said, trust in Lord, in the Lord thy God, you will be established. Believe also his prophets, you will prosper. I'll just let you know when I'm joking. Let me tell you the truth. I'm blessed with natural knowledge too. Some of you would inhale grass, all kinds of, they will sell you grass from the village now. You boil it and be drinking it. Because your stomach, I'm warning you now. You are poisoning your kidneys. Maybe I've told you. Now go back home and drink that grass. That's when your wahala will start. Because God has sent me to help you. But for those who are humble of heart, who tremble at his word, he's very merciful. They are the ones I'm saying. They are the ones I'm talking about. That God loves you. He's not angry with you. His rebellion he doesn't like. Say, believe God, don't take medicine. God said, fine, do that. Can you do it? No, Lord, I'll be afraid. He said, then don't let fear make you sink. Take the medicine. It's okay. Look, do you know the truth? If you get healed, only God can do it. That's what I mean by compassion. He feels for people. He makes abundant provision every step. That's his love. Compassion is that he feels for people. He told Kenneth Hagin, tell your wife to go and get operated on. She will not die. And what was the reason? Because he prayed beforehand and said, don't let my wife die. And again, let me tell you, that's how I pray for my loved ones. I pray for my wife. I pray for my kids like that. Specifically say that, let my wife be healed. Let my son be healed. Don't let them die. Say, no, don't take people away from me that will bring tears to my eyes. And you know what the Lord said to the man? He said, what I say to one, I say to all. So bear that in mind. What did he say to the man? He said, no problem. She will live. She will not die. Just because you asked me. Bow your head again. Ask God for something. Simple requests. Don't shake your head. Don't groan. Don't do anything. Simple requests. Say, Lord, you love me. You've made abundant provision. This is your power. You've made it available. Help my own belief. Now I'm asking you for my wife. You know what the Bible says? And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife Rebekah's sake. That was when she conceived and had those twins. Because Isaac entreated the Lord. And Isaac begged the Lord. It's so interesting that he didn't beg for himself, for his wife's sake. The woman cried to him. And he turned and said, God, biko. You want to know the truth? God hears the biko. He literally feels the pain in your heart. That's the God we are dealing with. He literally feels the pain in the heart. Two more things. Let me just quickly mention them so we can go home. I talked about God's power. Let's remember that. To him who loves us and redeems us from our sins. Remember that? That's the fourth one. His mercy. Do you know sin causes problems? If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
No, if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
It does. For this cause, many are sick amongst you.
Yes.
So sometimes we do things. But you want to know what's more important to know. The Lord is merciful.
Yes.
Say it. To him who loves me.
And forgives my sins.
You know, what did he say to Moses? When he was declaring the name of the Lord, he said, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth, or mercy and truth. Who keeps loving kindness for thousands and forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin? I love that. That's what you should bear in mind. Because sometimes guilt comes. Is it because of what they say, okay, all right, Lord, I confess. And you know what? He forgives. Give him thanks. Take a minute. Say, Father, I want to thank you because you are a loving and you're a merciful God. To him who loves me and forgives all my transgressions. And that's the one we actually told us in that Revelation chapter 1. To him who loves us and redeems us from all our sins. To him be the glory and power forever and ever. I like the way he says it. To him who loves us and releases us from our sins by his blood. Jesus has shed his blood, the Father has forgiven. Jesus has shed his blood, the Father has forgiven. Call the name of the Lord, like he declared it to Moses. The Lord God, compassionate and gracious. Everybody repeat after me. Say, the Lord.
The Lord.
The Lord God.
The Lord God.
Let me hear your voice. The Lord.
The Lord.
The Lord God.
The Lord God.
Compassionate and gracious.
Slow to anger.
But abundant in mercy.
And
abundant in truth.
Who keeps loving kindness for thousands?
And forgives iniquity, transgression,
and sin.
To him who loves me.
And has freed me from my sins.
To him be the glory.
To him be the
honor. Forever and ever. Amen. And last of all, I've given us how many now? Four? Yes, his will. Don't forget the will of God. That's what we started with. I'm just reiterating it now. Say after me. His will for my life
is total health.
John echoed it. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. John was taught by the Lord Jesus himself. So he knows what Jesus loves. When he got into the house of Peter, what did he do? He healed his mother-in-law. Are you getting my point? I just can't imagine now that Jesus will stay in a house and a person will go sick for there. I don't know. What do you think? I'm not sure if it happened. He said, listen. I will forgive you by force. I can't be in this house and people just sick anyhow. Now let's pray. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
No, just say amen to that. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Father dwells in your household.
Amen.
Therefore, sickness will not dwell there.
Amen.
The Lord, you know, Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. And I and the Father will come and make our abode with him. That the Father will come and live in that house. The Lord Jesus will live in that house. And I can assure you, the Holy Spirit is living in that home.
Amen.
And because the Holy Spirit is there, the Spirit of Resurrection, we command sickness to get out.
Amen.
We speak against every affliction.
Amen.
We speak against every trouble.
Amen.
Today I rebuke marital disharmony.
Amen.
Sickness in children.
Amen.
Is rebuked now in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I rebuke lack.
Amen.
It's a spirit. It's a spirit. Don't just think it's a lack of money. No. It's a spirit. Just make you broke. Make money not enough. Just spoil things. Now you have money. Freezer will just pack up. It's a spirit. That spirit of lack, that spirit of poverty, that spirit of insufficiency, we lift up the name of the Lord against it right now.
Amen.
We say, the Lord, our provider.
Amen.
Yeah, that's his name. It's lifted over your household.
Amen.
The Lord, the provider.
Amen.
To him who loves you and has freed you from your sins and has supplied all your needs, to him be the glory and honor forever and ever.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now I speak to that household, receive abundance.
Amen.
Let resources, hidden resources, be unlocked in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now take a moment and give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we say thank you. I want you to just take a moment. Just give the Lord thanks. Thank him. Take a moment and give thanks. Thank him. Thank him. Say, Lord, thank you for, let me list them for you again. Let's start from the, well, let me just leave them in order that I gave it to you. Say, Lord, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your love. Thank you for your compassion. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your will. There are five things I give. The power of God available is not small. Everything can be done. Genes can be rectified. Yes. We saw what he did in the house of Laban to bless Jacob. For his love, making abundant provision available in every level. For his compassion. He's not angry with you. You may not have the great big faith of your friend. He said, daughter, great is thy faith, Abby. And those who have small faith, that man said, I believe, help my unbelief. His faith was not great though. But that boy get healed. No, answer me. Did he get healed?
Yes.
Yeah, he healed the boy. Just like he healed the woman of great faith. That is compassion. The Bible says, compassion don't fail. They are new every morning. They are new. Give him thanks for his compassion. Give him time for his forgiveness by the blood. That's his mercy. And the fact that his will always, we said it before, always is healing. Some people they get confused when I say, God give sickness. Yes, he does. But it's never his will. It's when people they force him. They continue in iniquity. They sow seeds that leads to, heartbreaks, weakness of the body. Yeah, there are seeds like that. And as we are going away, I want everybody to repent of those sins, seeds. Last time we talked about those seeds. Say, Lord, I will not sow seeds of illness. There are many. Worry is a seed of illness. Unfaithfulness is a seed of illness. Disunity. If you're a married man here, go and be kind to your wife. If you're a woman, please submit to your husband. Make him happy to have you. These are seeds of health. Disunity, seeds of, sickness. And the woman told the story one time. Interesting story. A boy got shot by accident. They asked him to come and pray. The boy was brain dead. He prayed. The boy died. Then they now told him that the father and the mother, they were not talking. He said, and you made me pray. Why are you wasting my prayer? Father and mother are not talking. That's why he got shot in the head in the first place. Let's remove disunity from our homes. So let's repent of every sin that brings ill health and say, Father God, thank you for your mercy because your will always is perfect health. Take a moment and give the Lord thanks, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.